This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's Friday. I'm Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites, and chuckling in the background is
Arvind Yuvaraj.
It's a triple bonus because I've managed to see him and even talk to him for the last 3 days. So a triple bonus, not even a double bonus.
Fuyo.
Okay, that's what a way to lead into the weekend. But Arvind, tell me, what are we asking today?
So over on Twitter, we're asking you, do you feel more comfortable buying things online or digitally than you did pre-pandemic? Why or why not? The options are very simple. Yes, no, and only some things.
All right. And of course, you can let us know your thoughts via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. So the pandemic has undoubtedly accelerated the age of the consumer, a concept that consumers are more empowered than ever as they can access information about products and services over the internet in real time. This is exceptionally evident amid COVID-19 as consumers are forced to change their behaviours, particularly noted in the pivot towards the digital space. They want more personalised content, faster service, better experiences, and they want them all now.
Right now.
It's always been there, but I think, you know, as you know, the expectations have changed because of the pandemic, right? So as the economy ramps up in its recovery, it is reported that 73% of Malaysians are now more comfortable to shop online, and we were hearing rumblings of what has been dubbed revenge consumption, where consumers are willing to spend more to offset the shopping deprivation faced during the pandemic.
First world problems,
right. With this potentially leading to a flood of post-COVID purchases and surge in consumer spending, it's ever more crucial for businesses and marketers to understand what customers want and how to best engage with them to leverage growth opportunities. But how did COVID change the customer experiences? So as we know, when it comes to the customer experience and the desire of brands to strengthen their ties to consumers, the past year turned all the rules upside down.
Yeah, so just adding on to that, during the pandemic, even the best prepared companies were caught off guard in the ability to be agile and to be responsive. Issues of simple product fulfillment went up to crisis levels as manufacturing stalled and supplies dwindled. I think that problem is still going on. We still keep talking about it. But even then, loyalty programs were doing well, with one retailer enjoying 40% lift in cart size among its program members. So there was also a renaissance, quote-unquote, in creativity around brand messaging with the introduction of new digital and social media platforms. So at the same time, historic social movements dominated the public's attention and became a fundamental element of how brands speak to and connect with their consumers. I think this is mostly speaking about stuff that was happening in the US with their elections and their social issues particularly, I guess.
Right.
And the results were pretty obvious from a brand perspective. They had to provide a next-gen customer experience that seamlessly connects the physical and digital worlds across the customer journey. And this was supposed to bolster brands' ability to maximize revenue while building lifelong relationships with consumers by communicating what they really care about in a voice that sort of resonates with those consumer demographics.
Right. So let's take a look at a few key takeaways from brands that navigated some of the challenges, one of which is the customer connection has been transformed. So the pandemic brought about unprecedented challenges for brands and also ushered in a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to innovate through customer connection. Mm-hmm. Consider a particular seed manufacturer that has always counted on face-to-face interactions, but that, because of restrictions, had no choice but to engage with customers via digital platforms and vice versa. Marketers who for so long have fixated on Gen Z and digital natives found they had to speak to a much broader base of customers who become, out of necessity, more technologically savvy. So necessity is the mother of invention. We now have more than a year of this customer experience laboratory under our belts. But the pandemic has not just been a lab, it's been a wake-up call, right? For example, at the onset of the global health crisis, one large retailer took the position that it would not do commerce via mobile, opting to employ the medium for engagement only. Then the whole world shut down. Everybody shifted to digital transactions. And the retailer found itself without a mechanism for carrying through the customer relationship to the point of purchase. You know, talk about a missed opportunity. Pre-pandemic, around 30% of people shopped online for groceries, and even at that level, there were cracks starting in the supply chain. Grocery stores that failed to track changing customer purchase patterns led to shortages or even mass food spoilage. So during the pandemic, 80% shopped online. So can you imagine what more cracks they were getting?
Yeah, I also like to mention, this is one of the first articles that mentions, not one of the first, but they mentioned Gen Z as a consumer base. And that's something new because, you know, people still assume that Gen Z is, you know, in school or, you know, teenagers.
They're 21 years old.
They have spending power. Gen Z has spending power. The second point they make is that test and then test some more. So one advantage of the shifting rules of commerce has been that brands can be freer about experimentation while taking into account many possible customer experiences and then using that data to inform their decisions. So we've mentioned this before many, many times. Testing approaches and using data science to help create a clear understanding of customers and what they truly care about is the foundation of innovation and also of authentic customer experiences. So basically what it's saying is that the importance of testing cannot be overemphasized. Innovation is about being bold and taking risk, but it's also about being accountable and measurable for brands especially. So testing and measurement offer a framework for what success looks like and are critical components in developing products and services, also designing a marketing strategy and perfecting the customer experience. So just to wrap the whole thing up, the truth is some brands throw millions of dollars at this thing called innovation, quote unquote, but have no real measurement strategy for understanding the overall efficacy of the ideas. And leading companies will tackle this challenge by measuring or implementing an NPI, which stands for New Product Introduction.
Right. Well, is it that Jeevan Sahadevan always say, test and measure, right?
Test and measure.
Right. Okay, the other thing is chatter is not noise, it's your roadmap. So another key tool is social listening before, during and after a campaign. This has become an indispensable tool to inform everything from the overall brand strategy to the social movements that resonate with customers. Take the social issues that have come to define our times. They're at the forefront of everything, whether in the nuclear household or a multinational corporation. So their research has found that consumers will spend more money with a brand that is social good as part of its chatter than they have with brands that stay on the social sidelines. So being socially conscious is not just altruistic for brands today. It is key to business success, with many of today's leading marketers having entire departments focused on brand purpose. There are those brands that may think aligning with cultural movements is risky, as the data bears out. However, the reality is that it's a cornerstone of building consumer affinity, enhancing the customer experience. So social listening enables marketers to get down to the granular level of what customers care about, leverage innovations and take brands where they need to go. So Arv, what did you find about your shopping behavior?
Completely switched online.
Right.
But then to be fair, even before the pandemic, I switched online, even for electronics, even for big, I've bought like my TV, I bought online. And this was way before the pandemic. So shifting was quite easy for me. Like making that transition wasn't a big deal.
Because you're Gen Z.
A millennial.
Right. Millennia. I find that I think what really changed us is, you know, buying tickets online. That was the big thing, right? Because that was a big ticket item and we got used to that. And I think from there, last time it was like, you know, can't be more than a certain amount of money that I wouldn't dare to buy online. But I think that whole ticket thing, you know, the likes of AirAsia and all that sort of gotten used to us buying high ticket items online. I find that, it's true. I find that if the brand has a great story and has a social kind of thing, I would tend to buy more from it. And I would get really annoyed. It's like, you know, the process of buying it is difficult, right? And I still have to go to a physical shop or, you know, whatever. You know, it's like, where's the basket? Where's the shop icon, right? I get to that. And the moment you don't have that, you lose me. I'm not going to go through this long process, you know, of trying to find your product.
So e-commerce platforms are fine for you.
Yeah. So e-commerce platforms, it's got to be, you know, not complicated, that sort of thing. That has definitely accelerated. Not that I wasn't comfortable with shopping online, but definitely accelerated. But I find that does the company have a great story? Right? You know, I like to know whether there's a story, what's the story behind it, why they started, the whole storytelling, so that I can connect with the brand, because I'm not going to a physical shop anymore. So if you're able to translate that story online, and then I can connect with you there, that's important, right? You know, like when you go to a shop, you can talk to the owner and you find, oh, so this is a story behind your brand. So you purchase, right? So now it's like, if I don't see that story online, between two, the one that tells a better story would get my buy-in, right?
That's true. One of the issues for me, I think, is just the awareness now that is coming up about packaging and sustainability. So sustainability is a big issue when it comes to e-commerce because of, you know, the amount of packaging you get, then the logistics and your carbon footprint and stuff. So that's been bugging me the last few months.
Right. And whether they are listening to us, right? And so speaking about social listening, after this message, we'll be hearing from Benjamin Subis from TalkWalker. They're a consumer intelligence company that recently launched a social media trend report alongside HubSpot. And HubSpot is a developer and marketer of software products for inbound marketing, sales and customer services. He'll be giving some thoughts on which are the go-to apps for 2022 if you're a marketer and if you're a consumer, where perhaps you might find the best deals. Always looking for the best deals. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
I have a dream to go shopping, online shopping. This is Frida Liu together with Arvind Yuvaraj, listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes this Friday. And what are we asking, Arv?
We are asking over on Twitter, do you feel more comfortable buying things online or digitally than you did pre-pandemic? Why or why not? Options are very simple. Yes, no, and only some things. Tell us what.
All right. And we'll look at the poll results at the end of this conversation and also some comments that we've got over on WhatsApp. And yeah, you know, let us know as well via Twitter, you know, what your thoughts are. We'd love to hear what you think. So, you know, we've got here Benjamin Subis, who's the Managing Director, Asia Pacific in Japan from TalkWalker, a company that delivers consumer insights to help brands drive business targets. Thanks for staying on the line, Benjamin. So what exactly, in your opinion, is the age of the consumer?
Well, when we talk about the age of the consumer, we're really referring to how brands are seeing their customers really firmly in the driver's seat of opinion and also of the brand perception today. So not only are consumers in charge, they also want more personalized content. They want faster service, but also better experiences. And most importantly, they want it now. So this trend has really been accelerated by the pandemic. For example, whereby in Southeast Asia, we've seen 60 million new digital consumers join the internet economy since the start of the pandemic, including 20 million in the first half of 2021 alone. So for brands to survive and thrive in 2022 and beyond, they really need to have solutions in place to listen, but also to respond to consumer demands. And it needs to be in real time. And that's where TalkWalker comes in as the leader in consumer intelligence platform. We work with over 2,500 global brands to deliver business impact by transforming consumer data into actionable insights.
Now, Benjamin, you teamed up with HubSpot for the Social Media Trends Report 2022. Who were the people and companies that you polled for this?
Yes, TalkWalker and HubSpot Social Media Trends Report is actually in its seventh edition this year. We've gathered insights from over 70 marketing professionals and industry influencers worldwide, really to help you engage with these trends. The experts that have contributed to a report include Samit Malkani from Google Southeast Asia and India, Hilton's Ivy Esquero, Universal Music Group's Cassandra Tan, TikTok Shant Oknayan, and also many more. So what we've done is that we gathered from these leading practitioners really their personal forecast for trends that will drive success for businesses in 2022 and beyond. And we've condensed all these insights into the top 10 trends that cannot be missed. And so if you want, this report is definitely a resource that the TalkWalker clients, our partners, but also the industry, return to throughout the whole year, sharing with us the updates on the latest developments on those trends. And so we've more than 50 actionable takeaways for marketers and brands. There's definitely a lot for brands to unpack.
Wow, 50 takeaways. I'm curious, though, Benjamin, what were the major findings of the report?
Yes, I'd like to highlight just two of the 10 trends that we identified in the report, really to give our listeners some food for thought. So the first is that communities will develop, but not only will they develop, they will actually take full control. And this is something that brands and marketers don't think about enough, right? And so that can be either because they're afraid to lose control, or maybe that they just don't know where to begin. But the truth of the matter is that human beings are social by nature, right? And so social media will allow brands' communities to form both within, but also outside of the brand bubble. right? So if good products are essential for businesses, and we all know that, communities are absolutely essential for brand building. And brand building in 2022 should be less of a tug of war and more of a dance between brands and the consumer, as they really co-create collective digital spaces. And so in such a complex environment, where many organic conversations are happening at the same time, consumer intelligence solutions are absolutely essential for providing real-time insight, but also giving back brands some of the oversight and influence that they desire. The second trend I'd like to highlight is that metaverses will definitely be the next consumer connection, right? So the metaverse is an amalgamation of the physical world, the augmented world, and the virtual world. And this is much more than a Facebook-only phenomenon. We actually see already billions of dollars being invested into this technology. So it's not really a question of this, but it's really a question of when consumer will embrace these metaverse connections.
So how have these trends shifted from previous years?
Many of us seem to be debating, actually, if metaverse is just a new buzzword by Mark Zuckerberg. But I see this instead as being the culmination of a very long time trend where consumers are desiring more immersive and more connected experiences. And so this builds on how companies throughout Southeast Asia, but also Asia Pacific as a region, are already deploying AR and VR technology in order to create delightful and fingertip ready shopping experiences. And you can see that whether it's virtual test drives, makeup try on apps, or virtual dressing rooms, we anticipate that the number of use cases will only proliferate and accelerate much further. So along with these new technologies will come also new streams of consumer data, right? And so brands and marketers need intelligent solutions that keep abreast with their consumer engagement needs of the moment. And they do that in order to measure the business impact of the influencers they engage, but also more broadly, the digital and social media marketing campaigns.
Right. So which will be the go-to apps and platforms in 2022?
Yeah, here I think that the best apps and platforms for brand to go to are the ones where their consumers, but also the brand communities already exist, right? Oftentimes, brand will need to study not which platform, but actually how many platforms should they consider. And this is really because brands need to take this omni-channel approach in order to really engage with their customers, right? And by doing so, it means that consumer intelligence solutions like Talkworker are needed in order to provide a 360-degree view of a brand's customers, right? And this complete view is achieved by integrating both first-party but also third-party data, right? And so what app that is definitely on the rise is TikTok, right? And TikTok is actually the first non-Facebook app to reach 3 billion global downloads. If we look closely at the region, TikTok has over 22 million active users in Indonesia alone. And so that means that the Asia Pacific is hosting the second largest TikTok user base outside of China. And the interest in the app has definitely not stopped growing. And so brands who want to stay ahead of the curve should definitely think about developing a strategy around that. And we've already seen it, for example, the Malaysia's health ministry, you know, how they leverage TikTok's popularity in order to raise vaccine awareness. And they've done that very recently. And when we know that TikTok has plans to introduce e-commerce, but also monetization models, brands and companies absolutely have to think about how they will ride this new wave, but also how to leverage consumer intelligence solutions like Talkworker.
Benjamin, so how best can brands and companies leverage on these brands?
Well, that's a fantastic question. Thanks a lot for asking. So yes, the 10 social media trends that we've identified, right? There are a lot to wrap our heads around today, especially in this very fast changing world where brands have always to be live 24/7 and engaging their consumers across all the different platforms they have to be on, right? And so my first recommendation, well, download the report. Right. Why? Because it's a resource you can use and come back to throughout the whole year. Right. Secondly, dive into the Talkworker blogs and social media conversations. You can find us on talkworker.com. We have plenty of how-to articles, webinar discussions, but also guest blogs expanding on these top trends. Finally, whether it means leveraging the Talkworker solutions or otherwise, start working towards a 360-degree view of your consumer. This will allow brands to understand which trends need priority action and for which markets. The point of Talkworker's reports and forecast is really to give brands a head start with the 2022 strategy. And we hope that your engagement with Talkworker resources and the Talkworker community will help you activate that insight.
Right. A final question, Benjamin. In Malaysia specifically, which platforms seem to be the best place to go for brands and companies? And how does this differ from a global view, if at all?
Yeah, for Malaysia specifically, interesting question, because what we see at the moment is that the whole TikTok adoption movement seems to be slower than in other countries, right? We gave the example of Indonesia earlier today, and Malaysia is not as fast at all, right? And so brands that are relevant today, what do we see? Well, they all have a very strong YouTube, Facebook, Instagram strategy, and even some of them a WhatsApp strategy, right? But now if we think about brands that want to be relevant tomorrow, they absolutely should consider engaging the TikTok platform. Why? Well, the popularity amongst millennials, but also Gen Z, is indisputable. And this audience will what? Well, they will be the buying generation of tomorrow, and it will be the largest purchasing power of any generation. So that's definitely something brands will want to take note of.
Right, and that was Benjamin Subi's Managing Director, Asia-Pacific in Japan from Talkworker. So, you know, as he's speaking, you know, Arvin and I are laughing because, you know, TikTok, right? Of course, I'm in the presence of a TikTok legend here. Arvin, so tell me, Arvin, maybe we can, you're the other expert as well.
Since we're plugging that, if anyone wants to check out our TikToks at BFM Radio on TikTok, go check us out.
Right. And, you know, and that's the one thing, right? If you talk about just how it's just grown phenomenally and it's not just, you know, not just dancing, because I haven't seen Arv dance yet, but it's actually just talking sense.
Hopefully never.
Fingers crossed, never. I don't know. The JD might change 2022. I don't know. But so, I mean, he's very interesting. He's talking about TikTok and no surprises there. And I guess this is an opportunity when he said that compared to Indonesia, we're a little bit behind. And so this is another strategy that people need to look at. The other thing that got my attention was the omni-channel, right? And the whole omni-channel thing is, and I just had an interview this morning to be aired, but this how you can make one store, that whole experiential store, like a destination, and you really love it, and then you learn about the products and everything. And then after that, you're very, because you know, and then you're very comfortable buying online, right? Whether the necessity of opening many stores is still relevant.
I think so. And also that goes back to what you were saying before about social media and TikTok. A lot of companies seem to brush off some social media platforms, like it used to be Instagram. And then it before that, it was Facebook. And now even TikTok. A lot of people see it as that Gen Z thing that no one cares about. But it's not. It's like it's a massive, massive platform. And it also sort of it helps a company create branding awareness. And it also creates awareness for that company without hard selling their products. So it is a big deal, you know?
Right. Of course, you know, Arvin, I'm convinced.
At BFM Radio on TikTok. I'm saying it again.
All right. Let's look at the poll results. No, before we get poll results, here's a comment from Nini. Said, yes, shopping online, one doesn't need to carry heavy items around in and out from the vehicle. I'm with you, Nini, sister. So yeah, I get that. Yes, what are the poll results and any comments on your end?
No tweets, but one quick refresh for the final number. So we were asking you, do you feel more comfortable buying things online or digitally than you did pre-pandemic? Why or why not? 50% voted for yes. 40.2% voted for only some things. Didn't tell us what things. 9.8% voted for no.
Right. So how many percent for no? Sorry.
9.8%.
Except for no. So you're looking at 50% who are people who are doing a lot more shopping online. So very interesting. Well, that's all the time we have for today. On behalf of myself, Frida Liu, and Arvin Yuvaraj, we're wishing you a fantastic weekend. And of course, you've been listening to Enterprise Biz Bikes. Thanks for joining us, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.